As the United States pursues an international consensus on the need to take military action to disarm Iraq, the Bush administration simultaneously contends that a threatened nuclear buildup by North Korea will best be defused by regional diplomacy. The administration also says it will not enter into direct talks with the North Koreans. The North Koreans insist that direct talks take place between Pyongyang and Washington. Selig Harrison is director of the Asia Program at the Center for International Policy and the author of Korean Endgame, A Strategy for Reunification and U.S. Disengagement, and he joins us in the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
You recently chaired a task force which included many prominent former U.S. diplomats, military officers with experience and expertise in dealing with North Korea. What did the task force conclude would be the best course of action, given the present circumstances?
Well, although the task force differed on some issues, one issue everybody, all 28 members, agreed on, and that was that it was necessary for the United States to enter into direct bilateral negotiations to get a process of the denuclearization of North Korea started. The reason why the Bush concept of starting with regional diplomacy won't work is that it's the United States that North Korea is afraid of. This whole crisis has arisen because North Korea fears a preemptive strike by the United States, which they're trying to deter with the threat or the actuality of a nuclear weapons program of their own. And they also have heard President Bush say to Bob Woodward that he loathes Kim Jong-il, the leader of North Korea, and would like to topple his regime. Well, the leaders of North Korea, like most leaders, like their jobs. They don't want to be toppled. And they really fear that the U.S. is committed to promoting the collapse of North Korea. What's needed could be a joint declaration of mutual pledge of non-aggression linked to a commitment by North Korea to denuclearize under adequate inspection. At that stage, the U.S. would be committed to a permanent non-aggression commitment to North Korea. And part of that would be a pledge to respect their sovereignty, which means we will not try to bring about the collapse of the regime of Kim Jong-il, even though we don't like it that President Bush has talked about.
How great is the threat from North Korea?
Well, the threat of a North Korean nuclear weapons program, if they do proceed with it, and actually we know that they have and are making nuclear weapons, would not be a threat to the continental United States. The threat would be twofold. First, they could hit U.S. bases in Japan, U.S. bases in South Korea. That, in their minds, of course, would deter us from staging a preemptive strike on them. But the real danger and the real reason why the task force urges bilateral negotiations urgently is that once it's believed that North Korea has nuclear weapons, clearly has them and is clearly going to make more, then you have all the pro-nuclear hawks in Japan greatly strengthened, and Japan will reconsider its commitment not to be a nuclear power. A nuclear Japan would trigger a nuclear South Korea. You'd have tensions between Japan and China, between Japan and South Korea, and the United States itself would face a new nuclear power with technological sophistication on a par with its own.
Is there not a fear, though, that North Korea could actually sell its capability to others?
Yes, that is also a threat. But if, in fact, the estrangement between North Korea and the United States continues to deepen, the more exacerbated the relationship becomes, the more North Korea abandons all hope, they might cross the Rubicon of transferring fissile material to third parties for a price. But our task force felt that that was not the most likely danger of a North Korean nuclear program, which would be triggering a nuclear arms race in Northeast Asia.
Is there any circumstance in which the task force felt a preemptive strike against North Korea would be called for?
The majority of the task force did not, but there was a minority that felt that in the event that we did have evidence that North Korea is transferring fissile material to terrorist states or third parties, that would have to be considered. And we had a dissent from one of our prominent members, Brigadier General James F. Grant, who was the head of U.S. military intelligence in South Korea, who felt that the preemption option should be kept open.
Selig Harrison is director of the Asia Program at the Center for International Policy and author of Korean Endgame, winner of the 2002 award of the Association of American Publishers for the Best in Government and Political Science. Thank you very much.
Thank you.